Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula, Bill Russell, and President Marvin Krisloff. I can't go any farther without talking about this lawyer part, because I am thrilled that not only are you the president of Oberlin College, but you also come with your own wonderful education and your exciting experience as a lawyer at the University of Michigan, which I think is one of those lovely little nodes in your own life network. It's very important what you and the University of Michigan did for us in our democracy in defending the right to have affirmative action, the right to have affirmative action, and to think carefully about who gets educated in America. Wasn't that thrilling?
Well,
and hard.
It was a great honor for me to be part of the University of Michigan during that period in time. And as you know, what happened was we were sued. We at the University of Michigan were sued because of our admissions policy, which considered many, many different factors, primarily academic, but also geography, socioeconomic status, and so forth. But the piece we were sued about was the fact that there was some consideration of racial and ethnic diversity in order to try to get a critical mass of underrepresented minorities. And this was a policy that had been in effect for a very long time. And
reflected a lot of different people across the country. It wasn't like you did something weird.
No, in fact, after the Bakke case, which was 1978, most American universities and colleges implemented affirmative action programs that have been based on what was called the so-called Harvard Plan, where race and ethnicity was one plus factor, in addition to things like geography and socioeconomic status and so forth. And there was a legal challenge to our policies as well as others, but ours were the ones that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And one of the things that we did that I'm very proud of is we made a case about the importance of diversity in terms of achieving educational excellence, and that this exposure, similar to what we were just talking about, exposure to multiple points of view, including people from different racial and ethnic backgrounds, was very much a part of the educational experience and valuable for people from all backgrounds. And it was very compelling to the court. One of the things that they were very compelled by, the majority anyway, was the voices of the business community that said it was very important for business and economics to have perspectives and to be able to have interaction with people from different backgrounds. And one of the amicus briefs, friend of the court briefs, was actually submitted by a lot of military brass, including people like Norman Schwarzkopf, just to name drop. and they said that the military, after the Vietnam experience, where there had been this disconnect between the enlisted folks and the officers on racial grounds, the military had begun a very conscious effort to integrate the officer corps, and that was partly done in their academies and partly done through ROTC as well. And so the military programs were very similar to the affirmative action programs. They were affirmative action programs seen at most of our nation's leading colleges and universities. And I think the court found this very compelling because the academies are similar to colleges and universities because they're national groups, elite, selective leadership training, and it is, as you suggested, so important for democracy to have this kind of integrated leadership and an integrated educational experience, if at all possible. And so this was a wonderful opportunity for me to be part of a historic moment. I think there are many other issues that still remain, and I think that one thing that we need to remember is affirmative action is really a very limited tool. It helps highly qualified people get into some of the elite schools, and it does produce some of our nation's greatest thinkers and leaders and so forth, but it is not a major social uplift program. It is really taking people who are very capable and giving them that extra opportunity, and to do so in an educational setting.
Listening to you, it brings me to the subject of justice, which is ultimately what this has to be about, the case has to be about. And justice has to do with opportunity more broadly. Justice has to go, at least socially, beyond what the letter of the law and even the intent of the law. And it seems that in that context, the role of the university or the college becomes very important because we would like to believe that everybody in the community has comparable opportunities. And, of course, one of the arguments for affirmative action is that that historically and currently has not been the case. And in some ways, it is, to me, a wonderful example of the richness and complexity that the role of these institutions of higher learning, in some ways even more important than the primary and secondary schools, in some ways much less important, but the, those roles as exemplars, as laboratories, as vehicles for experimenting, for thinking through how we're going to grow and evolve into a more just society, a freer society, a more democratic society. Not to put all the burden on you, but it is, isn't it? Isn't that your job?
Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this because this year in particular was a very competitive year for college admissions.
This was the year 2007-8, looking toward the class that starts 2008 and is the class of 2012?
It would be the starting in the fall of 2008, and so it would be the class of...
I got there!
I wasn't a math major. But it would be the class of 2012.
I was pretty proud, and I'd already done my fingers and toes.
There you go. That's why you're the host, and I'm just the guest. This was a big... This is the baby boom echo. So many people applying. And so we, along with most... colleges and universities, selective colleges and universities, had record number of applications. And when you're making these choices, you are making very difficult decisions because you're looking at whole people and you're trying to merit is, of course, academic merit and potential is the most important thing, but you're also trying to get a class full of people who will be interesting and who will learn from each other, international. You want people who are studying different topics. You want some who are athletic. You want some people who are more artistic, and you want some people who are just all around good people and student leaders and so forth.
And what you decide makes a huge difference in their lives.
Absolutely, because there's the educational experience, which is transformative, which exposes people to different disciplines and so forth. But frankly, these colleges and universities are also part of networks. And we need to be realistic that this is part of the value of the education experience at this level is the networks of people, people like yourself, who... one becomes part of that family when one goes to a place like an Oberlin or whatever selective school that you're at. And not just a selective school, but,
exactly.
But selective schools have been a conduit to access and to power. And if we look at, for instance, our presidential candidates on the Democratic side, for instance, both of those candidates went to highly selective schools and law schools. And you look in the lists of judges and senators and congresspeople and so forth, and disproportionately, those folks have gone to schools that are selective. And they can be public selective or private selective, but they are selective schools by and large. And that's why people are very anxious for their children and their grandchildren, because they know there is an impact, and it can be measured in economic terms of going to these places. I think...
And tremendous social terms as well as the economic.
Right, because
it shapes where we're going to go.
Well, and a lot of times you meet your spouse or partner at places like this and so forth. So the education itself is transformative, but the world of connections and family and friends that you become part of is also incredibly important.
Which is why we want those institutions to be broadly representative.
Absolutely.
Because if these elites, and that's what you're talking about, do not have experience with a much richer world than having grown up typically in an elite environment, unless we're very careful, and gone to an elite school and have friends who were comparably, blessed, then there is...
You end up with an aristocracy.
Well, you end up with an aristocracy, but it's an ignorant... It is a socially, culturally ignorant aristocracy, and you end up with, God help us, a governing class that has no visceral understanding of the governed, which in a democracy is a very dangerous thing.
When it is the governed who are supposed to be in charge.
Well, and the mobility that education, and particularly higher education, gives is so important to American democracy. And I can tell you that Oberlin College, which is where I am now president, has had a long tradition of providing that access. And, of course, we were the first college to open our doors to people regardless of races and to women in a coeducational environment. And that commitment is very deep and very strong.
And goes back to 1835. 175 years is a pretty good track record.
Right. We're celebrating our 175th anniversary this year. I'm very proud of that. And our commitment is backed up by a lot of money and resources. And so we continue to give very generous financial aid packages to people from lower and middle class families. And we reach out, and this year we've announced an initiative to eliminate loans for those students from Pell-eligible families. So these are families on the neediest side.
And eliminate the loans by giving them support.
Giving them money, flat-out money.
Yeah.
And we have a very strong record of providing access to Pell-eligible families and families who are working class but not quite eligible for Pell as well. It's incredibly important. And you know, there are so many steps of the way that as we see the opportunity, it's important to help students from less affluent families get access to the educational opportunities, to internships, to graduate and professional schools. And so what Oberlin and schools like Oberlin can do is really provide an enormous opportunity, not just for one particular person, but really for a whole family. That's one of the things that really makes my heart
sing. I'm excited about it because I was one of those kids. And where were you when I needed it? Well, somebody was there because I was able to have that experience. We're going to be back in just a moment with President Marvin Krisloff, Bill Russell, I. Paula Gordon. We trust that you'll be with us.